Come with me if you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Come with me to verse 17. Because I want to talk to you today, as you can see on the board, that nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. That was Jared when he was five. Not really. Nothing is too hard for God. You know, Jeremiah says, and there's context to this, but Jeremiah says, "O sovereign Lord," who believes God is awesome. God is incredible. He's amazing. He's the only one. He's sovereign. All right? "O sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you." Now, if you get the context of how Jeremiah actually came to this conclusion, you'll understand how faith-filled these words were. See, when you'll see that nothing is too hard for God, and God wants to be a person, wants you to be a person of influence for him in this world. And it is likely the struggle that you are going through in many areas of your life. Who's going through any kind of struggle right now? I can put legs up, I can put everything up. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is. Why are you in the dark? Can we put their lights on, please? Hello, nice to see you. There you are, they're back. You know, we all have struggles. We all have things that go on. But you know, through those struggles, are you going to rise in faith and allow God to be God? Is God bigger? So is nothing too hard for God? Do we really believe it? Okay, so when we take our struggle to God, then if something's going to happen, even if the problem doesn't immediately get solved, at least we should get a bigger heart so that we can get through it, yes? So that's one thing. Now look at the Jeremiah. This is amazing. Let me try and go through this. Because God has put this church here, has he not, to be a place of faith, hope and love for this community. And so if he's got that happening and that we're to be a place of faith, hope and love, then you've got to be full of faith yourself. You've got to be full of hope yourself, even if circumstances don't seem that way. And you know, I mean, it's all bad news, isn't it, when you look at the papers at the moment. But we're people of hope and faith. I said, church, we've got hope and faith on our side. We've got a miracle working God. We've got the supernatural power of a God that's bigger than this world, who created the universe. And so that's why Jeremiah is able to say, "Oh, sovereign Lord." And so I think we've got to get this morning, because I'm trusting that God is going to do amazing miracles with our finances. Some of you need that. But you've got to step forward in this. And I think God's, there's some testing going on to see how's Fremantle going to cope, how's C3 Church. There's a devil trying to get around the court, you know, on the edges. But we're bigger, aren't we? God's bigger. And so when we follow God's commands and leadings, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, thank you, God, when we love our enemies amidst the battles that we face with them, you know, you can love your enemy and you don't have to actually give him cheek back. And the story of owning my own home was a complete miracle. I've kind of just gave you a brief thing on it today. God bless Logan this morning. You know, in February 2005, not that long ago, but in February 2005, our plans had been approved for the redevelopment of what was a derelict Coventry's warehouse into a church and child care centre. But just when we thought we had success, the chairman of the Department of Planning Commission in Frio came out against our proposal. Now, I want to say this morning, before we go any further, that I'm glad that Jeremiah had these words to say. For the Lord Almighty, 32:15 says this, "The Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, someday people will again own property here in this land and will buy and sell houses and vineyards and fields. And then in verse 17, it says, nothing is too hard for you. In context, Jeremiah was talking about owning land. Now, Fremantle and probably most of Perth and most of Australia was originally built on godly principles. However, the church lost momentum as people had fallen out of relationship with God. If nothing else, we've got to have a relationship with God. We are not dead. The church does not have to decay. It can be alive. When people actually start to have miracles in their life, who knows, people get drawn to his house. And so we've got to be people full of faith. And the situation was a little different in Jeremiah's time. And Jeremiah was a prophet who dearly loved God and his people, but he was in an era of kings who had visions of grandeur. Does it sound familiar in some of the countries you've come from? I'm thinking of some of the Africans, thinking of some of the situations around our globe right now, where they simply have their own interests before the interests of the people. And they wanted to build up their own wealth regardless of how the people were doing. This was how Jeremiah's time was. Exactly the same, and they were meant to be the Christians. And so Jeremiah wasn't all that well liked. And Jeremiah loudly objected to the king's ideas. He was also aware of how strong the Babylonians had become and that they were going to lay siege to Jerusalem. And so he was a prophet, and so he would prophesy. And here he's prophesying to the king. He's praying, you guys, if you go up against Babylon, you're doomed. You're going to get taken away. You know, there is a battle going on in the heavenlies for every single person in this room you've got to stay first connected to God. God cares so much for you. And we need to have a relationship so that things continue to grow in him so that we can be at our best. We can be an arrowhead for this area. You know, it goes on that first we follow God and second we mean business with God by establishing the kingdom of God. And we have done that through taking possession of this land. And we have some incredibly faithful and mighty people in this church that have allowed this to happen. In fact, it was about 11 of us that made this whole church possible in our childcare. We've got 4,000 square metres of prime land, 500 metres from the beach. God is amazing. And now it's up to us to actually see this building come down in the debt that we owe the bank, so that we can do more for those in need, and so that we can, well, there's always needs for the, we've always got to be giving to the building because it's simply, that's God's house. We should love it. And so once we had an offer on the table here for this facility back in, I think it was 2004 originally, and planning approval, it was then that the spiritual powers started to really show their fangs, I guess. And, you know, we were accused of trying to poison children. It was incredible. We were told that we couldn't breathe the same air as because it was going to kill us on this side of the road compared to the other. It was amazing what went on. It really was. And I remember for weeks and weeks being bombarded by nasty phone calls. In fact, some people in the community, we nearly came to fisticuffs. It was incredible. Caroline, you remember those days? Because every time you make advances for the kingdom of God, there is an enemy that wants to stop it because he's after death and there is life and life eternal, and that is the best life. And so it's no surprise that if we're doing the work of God, we're going to get attacked. I'm not even surprised that people are hurting right now, right here in our church, because God's going to lift us in faith and we're going to grow from level to level and we're going to receive the promises of God. Come on. Jeremiah 32:25, New Living Translation says this. And yet, O sovereign Lord, you have told me to buy the field, paying good money for it. Now, oh, this is amazing. Before these witnesses, and look what he says, even though the city will soon belong to the Babylonians. Who pays good silver for something that's going to be worth nothing? Knowingly that it's going to be worth nothing. All right. Oh, you've got the point. We'll go on. Amidst all the problems and the heartache Jeremiah felt, God still tells him to go ahead and buy the land. He's prophesying that it's going to be overtaken. He's telling the current king that it's going to be overtaken. He's saying that it's going to be burnt to the ground because that's what he's prophesied. And yet he still puts an offer on the table and pays good money because the Lord told him to. Why? Let's get there. See, it is when we think we can't do something. It is when we think it is not possible, it is even when we think that we shouldn't, that God has a strategy and a plan far bigger than we can see or imagine. But it takes faith. And this church, I believe, we are built on faith to a great degree. And this is where it gets really interesting. Jeremiah was the one prophesying, as I said. It wasn't a good time for him. He knew that after he'd given over the whole lot of silver, which was worth an awful lot of money back in those days, it was going to be worth a few shekels. But he did it anyway. Now look at this. This is what happens. This is Jerusalem under siege. Show me that. That's what happened. That's actually a picture of the siege. I found one on one of the only pictures. There's not too many pictures from this far back. Okay, thanks. Why did Jeremiah do it knowing that was going to happen? You can turn that off, thanks. I'll tell you why. Because Jeremiah loved God and he loved the people of Judah. And even though Jeremiah was aware of his misfortune in the natural, nothing was going to stop him from buying land for the future establishment of God's house and his people. I don't know about you, but let's just bring it into modern context. But right now, the world's looking rather gloomy. Would you agree? The world economy is looking a bit shaky, has been for quite a while. Property prices don't look so good in Perth right now. The share market may not look like a very good proposition right now. But building the house of God amidst turmoil touches God's heart. Now, faith is spelt R-I-S-K. I think I've got it overhead for this. It's spelt risk. Now, risks must be taken to pursue solutions to impossible situations. If you really want to trust God with your finances, you cannot go wrong by putting into our future promises for the house of God. Do you know already, just from some of our staff, not everyone's been able to do it so far, but already, we have been able to raise from just our staff and our board. Now, most of these are part-time. One businessman who's a few business people that are part of our staff as well. But so far, we've been able to raise in promises from March this year, which next month, right through to February next year. You know, it runs from February to March, 12-month period every year. So far, we have promises for $50,000. God loves when we give to the house. Now, that's just the staff. I don't know the other figures. But I know that God wants this place to grow from strength to strength. Don't you agree? Come on, we can really crack well over 100,000, no problem at all. Just from our staff and board, what's that? It's about, I don't know, 8-9 people. This is incredible. But we can do this together, and it's not about the amount. It's about us actually sacrificing together to build the strongest house possible. And so that we can say to our friends and to our family and to those who don't know God, I'm putting my trust in God. Look what he did for me. Now, why did Jeremiah do what he did? We're going to see. Because Jeremiah believed in the ancient promises that God made to his people. Come with me to Jeremiah 32 and verse 27. Verse 27. It says, I am the Lord, the God of all peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? And then in verse 38, come over the page if you have a Bible. He makes a promise for the future restoration of God's people. They will be my people and I will. He says I will about 12 times in this chapter and the preceding chapter in 33. I will put a desire in their hearts to worship me and they will never leave me. I will rejoice in doing good to them and will faithfully and wholeheartedly plant them in this land. You know, when we take action for God and we put a stake in the ground, as it were, and say, I'm trusting in my God. I'm going to give to the house of God, even though there's turmoil, even though there's things against me in the natural, that God does supernatural things and he will build his house. And generation after generation will be blessed. Mary said it and it continues today. Who's glad that they have a relationship with God here? It started in Jeremiah, right back with Abraham. And all peoples on earth will call you blessed. And so there are things that we can do that actually say, I'm for God, and this is one of them. When we say, well, I'm going to bring my faith promise for the 12-month period. I'm going to put in my promise and I'm going to trust God and I'm going to faithfully give into this fund by whatever means, by direct debit, by credit card, whichever. Don't overspend on your credit card and then have to pay it back, okay? But just let's be wise. But let's do this together. Let's sacrifice together. Look at this. Why did Jeremiah do it still? I haven't really answered the question because I think, wow, here's this, he hears from God. See, faith is not determined by the outcome. Come on. Come on. Our faith is not determined by the outcome. Our faith is actually just trusting and believing in what God has told us. Jeremiah was told by an angel of God that someone was going to, his relative was going to come and visit him. You can read it for yourself. And that's exactly what happened. And he knew it was God. And so he said, regardless of the circumstances, I'm going to give to God in this way. Do you know how long it took? It was 48 years later that Jerusalem was rebuilt. But he stood on the promises of God. Because why was it rebuilt? Because God has a covenant with his people that he will always bring blessing to them. And sometimes people, why did they get like that in the first place? Probably even a better question. They got like it in the first place because they decided that they didn't want to worship God anymore. So they didn't even have to have that situation in the first place. But Jeremiah, a man of God, says, regardless of these circumstances and even my own negative prophecies, I am going to put a stake in the ground, as it were. I am going to put my faith in God. I'm going to trust God. I look like I'm going to lose the money for a long time. My family's going to suffer. But I'm doing it because I want to see the kingdom of God established. And that's what he did. Wow, what, who thinks that's faith? Wow, I'm just like, incredible thing. Because you know, God is a God of restoration. And he always, he didn't want that situation to happen in the first place. He didn't want the Babylonians, but they went away from God. They left God behind. When we leave God behind, we allow ourselves the influence of the enemy and they come and invade. They invade our finances. You want to know why you got holes in your pockets? Because you don't bring your tithes and offerings in the house of God. There's a few clear illustrations. And right through the Bible, when people give up on God, there is war. There's taking over of land. And it never had to happen because God always blesses his people when they love him with all their heart. Now I want to show you a picture of our facility right now, right present day. That was taken today. Thanks, Dave. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Have we got a picture of previous? Oh, look at that. That's Wesley and Bremer, if you can see them. They were fighting out the front. Hard to believe, I know. Wes and Bremer. They've got a stick and they're bashing each other. But That was the early days. Now that's actually does it. That actually looks not too bad, but the inside was 10 times worse, wasn't it, Greg? Oh, those were the days. You know, the overriding principle, guys, with this whole Faith Promise program of our future is that we give to the house of God like Jeremiah because we love God. Because we love God. Jeremiah bought the land because there's always a future in God. Now show us the updated version again. Or maybe you've got a different one. You can show us a different one. There's a different view. Childcare centre as well, and all the car park, of course. I actually had a picture of this the vacant property next door as well. There you go. Look at that. God's in the business of transforming things. Of little money to the house of God. O sovereign Lord. Come on, church. O sovereign Lord. You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too hard for you. You know, when we finally got approval for this building, we went to a local establishment. Fremantle had a bit of a celebration. And I remember turning to Pastor John Finkelde, who'd come down and was praying, had been praying for that council meeting where we got the approval. And I said, John, you know, this is fantastic. I said, but I've got to tell you, we still don't have a bank that are actually going to loan us the funds. And it was too far gone. I didn't sleep that night. It was just like, okay, God, I know you haven't brought me this far to fail, but hey, I thought I'd heard from you. Sometimes we think we hear from you, we wonder. I thought we haven't led all these people and all these meetings, and here we are having a celebration. Please, God. You know, I was too stressed to do anything about it, to be honest. I was, if I'm honest with myself. And you know what happened? Andrea just, well, she was just, you know, Andrea's at peace more than me most of the time, I guess. And she happened to meet a lovely mum that where the kids were going to school. Her husband happened to be one of the high up in the bank here in Fremantle. And that afternoon, we were signing the papers. It was amazing. It really was. Why am I telling you all this? Because God has established something quite magnificent here in Freo. God is a God of restoration. And when we give into the house of God, and particularly when we give into building the house of God for the future generations, I mean, this isn't just for us, is it? I mean, how blessed is my son? How old? He's nearly 17. 17 years old. Nick, how old are you? Nick's what? How old are you, man? 11 years old. And he's drumming. My goodness. How cool. Bremer. No more fighting your brother. You know, but I look at these. They're going to benefit, aren't they? And aren't we going to be going, you know, We'll be like Betty up the front here. Come on, guys. Isn't that right? And we'll be championing their cause. Someone's got to keep fighting the fight of faith and seeing this mortgage come down so that we can be a blessing to the wider community. God hasn't brought us here except to win. And so we're going to win. And so let me finish. A few extra statements. Why did Jeremiah determined to give good money, knowing the immediate future was not so bright? Because owning into God's house means healthy crops, in his terms. You know, owning into God's house means great work. God blesses his people, but we give to him. Owning into God's house means healthy marriages. Come on. Come on, Dave. That's it. Owning into God's house means great families. Owning into God's house means generation after generation will call me blessed. It seems impossible. But God is a God that makes things that seem impossible and brings a freshness, just life, into everything that we can do for Him. And yet there's even another side to this. Yana, perhaps you can come. That even when circumstances don't seem against you entirely, like with Jeremiah, there is no greater reward than keeping your faith and your giving firmly in the house of God. And even if things are not restored in your lifetime, we don't know how the world's going to go. We really don't. But I'm so glad that I can trust in someone bigger than this world. Jeremiah was not going to know for nearly 50 years. But it was still better, and he realized it was still better that he owned into God's land for the generations to come. And God deposited into Jeremiah a gift of faith for the future. And that's why we call it, in many ways, there's so many scriptures right through the Bible, why we call it our future, because our future is the house of God. And Jeremiah 33:9, then this city will bring me joy, glory and honor before all the nations of the earth. The people of the world will see the good I do for my people and will tremble with awe. They did rebuild the temple. I don't know if we've actually, have we still got that picture of the temple? They rebuilt, look at that. It was rebuilt. You turn that off again. Let me finish with this. I said I was going to finish. Jeremiah 33, verse 25 to 26. I would no more reject my people than I would change my laws of night and day and earth and sky. Wow. I will never abandon the descendants of Jacob or David, my servant, or change the plan that David's descendants will rule the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Instead, I will restore them to their land and have mercy on them. What God is, do you see, realize what God is saying? And when we trust Him, and when we put our faith in Him, when we honor the house of God, as long as there's day and night, I will bless my people. Wow. So please consider carefully. You should all have, when you came in, or you should already have your faith promise cards. I have one here, I think. Yes, I do. This is a 12-month program. This is not like our other offering where we do mainly cash, although I think I'm going to change it this year as well because I want to just have two areas that we give to above our normal tithes and offerings. We keep the ministry of the church going. But this offering, it's a 12-month of saying, I am into the future of this house. And I'm going to bring an amount that I trust in God is going to, I know that God's given me, that is going to help build. And so what Andrew and I do is every fortnight, it comes out of our salary. That's the best way to do it. It really is. When you know, this is like planning. So if you haven't already talked with your spouse or thought about it, or talked with your family if you're younger, I would encourage every one of us, we can build an incredible place for the kingdom of God here. It already is it not? But it can be better, can't it? God wants to bring increase. God wants to bring growth. And it all happens because we own in to the house of God. Let's pray. So Father, I pray today for every person that they would consider wisely. And Father, they would hear from you. And as we bring our faith promises, that we would extend the kingdom of God. We would see more and more salvations in your house, week in, week out. Lord, we would be able to meet more and more needs here in this community. Lord, that we would be a blessing to one another and that we would grow together to build a magnificently famous and glorious house. Not for us, but for you, Lord. And if all else fails, Lord, we're going to trust in you anyway, like Jeremiah did. Because we know that you are a God of restoration. And we believe and trust in your name. People of God said,